It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert. Rob Ferret is out today. Coming up, it's Wisconsin Life with a look at organic farming in the Oneida community. But first, Wisconsin's Government Accountability Board has found nearly 4,000 examples of accessibility issues in Wisconsin polling places over the past 7 election cycles. Joining us to talk about that issue and what needs to be remedied in the run-up to the 2016 presidential election is Kit Kirstensteiner. She's an attorney with the Disability Rights Wisconsin, where she heads up their Help America Vote Act project. Kit Kirstensteiner, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
So when we talk about accessibility in polling places, what issues are we talking about?
Oh, there's a broad range. We're talking about everything from a pile of snow in the disabled parking spot in front of the polling place to accessibility of the materials for someone who has problems reading or anything in between.
What about issues of privacy?
That is often a problem, especially if they have one touchscreen made accessible for people in a wheelchair or whatever else. Often they don't think about the privacy issue, and they'll just have it out in the open and not have the same degree of secrecy of the ballot that they will for everyone else.
Now, the GAB said that it found nearly 4,000 examples of accessibility problems over the past 7 election cycles, and they involved over 800 polling sites. Did that number surprise you in any way?
No, not when you're looking at the range of things that are problematic. I mean, some are as simple as signage, which are easily fixed, but it counts as an episode or instance, and some are really troubling. But I think there's been an attempt by the county clerks to work on the issues over time, and hopefully it'll keep getting better.
Have you heard from people that you work with that they may have experienced problems like these?
Yes, we have a disability voting hotline that we have every year during the election, anytime there's an election around the state. And we get a few calls here and there, and some after the fact, about people who experienced problems, usually with their wheelchair wouldn't go through the opening, or there were steps. Sometimes I've heard recently about some individuals who were there to help individuals with some sort of cognitive impairment to help them vote, and they were told, no, you can't come in. No one can help them vote, which is not the case.
So what happens?
They can't give them ideas about who to vote for, but they can help them with the process of
voting.
Sure.
And what happens, do you think, when a person, say, does show up and encounters an issue that has to do with accessibility? Do they go ahead and vote, or do you think that issues like this actually suppress the number of votes, maybe?
There can be a chilling effect, and people. Not so much that people show up and are unable to vote. There should also be curbside voting for individuals who have mobility issues, and it's not, say, there are stairs or the doorway is too small. There is the ability to vote curbside. I think what happens more often is that people think, "Oh boy, this is just going to be too much of a hassle. I know that building over on the other side of town, and I got to negotiate this, and I don't know where to park." And I think that just that, before they even go out the door, probably can have some effect on people voting.
So tell me a little bit more about curbside voting. Is that something that is in effect in Wisconsin?
Absolutely, and has been. If you have a problem with some of these places that have these 4,000 incidents of accessibility issues, not all of them will relate to this, but if you do have an issue or just have, even if it is accessible, even if there is everything is fine, it's one level and everything's wide enough, if you have problems getting out of your vehicle, you can ask to do curbside voting. And a registrar election official will bring it out, let you vote, take it back in, and run it through the machine.
Is the photo ID requirement, as you see it, an aspect of accessibility?
Yeah. We're trying to get people motivated. I know it's August and the weather's beautiful, but the primaries in the in the next year are just around the corner, and some of the issues for, especially for people with disabilities, are not that easily dealt with in terms of getting a proper ID. A lot of folks with disabilities don't drive. A lot of them don't have someone who can take them over to Department of Motor Vehicles, and then they don't have one, two, or three of the things they need, so they have to come back again. And it's a very, they don't have a lease, they don't have a cell phone. There are all sorts of situations that contribute to the difficulty in coming up with a photo ID that's accessible or that is appropriate for the polling places.
We're talking right now with Kit Kirschensteiner. She's an attorney with Disability Rights Wisconsin, where she heads their Help America Vote Act project, talking about findings of accessibility issues in 4,000 issues here in Wisconsin at 800 polling places. So, Kit, whose job is it to make sure that places are compliant and accessible for voters who want to vote?
The number one responsibility falls on the municipality or voting precinct that where it is, and they are supposed to be looking at these things, because the Americans, this is not just the Help America Vote Act, this is also the Americans with Disabilities Act, which requires accessibility in all governmental services, and clearly voting is high on the list of governmental services. They have polling places. So this is not a new thing or a different thing. It's just something that we keep working on and working on. And there have been strides. I think there are a number of municipalities that said, "Whoa, we can't do this in that church basement anymore because of the steps. Let's move it over here to the elementary school that's all on one floor," or things like that. So there have been strides, and we also give out through GAB the certificates of compliance and for municipalities and voting districts that have come across as being 100% accessible.
And what kind of accountability is there for a polling place that might be found to be out of compliance?
Most of these things are worked on in collaboration with GAB to figure out how they can make this work. Clearly, if any individual has a problem, they always have a right, a cause of action. I don't want to get too legal on you, but because they can't restrict a service such as access to a polling place. Hopefully, short of that, though, the most of the county clerks and individuals interested in accessibility of their own particular polling place are more than willing to get started on making it accessible. The problem happens when you're in a situation that creates a really expensive alteration.
Now, we're about 15 months out from the next presidential election. What do you see as the biggest priorities for making sure that all voters are able to cast their votes in an accessible polling place?
I think that the number one issue to me is working on making sure that you have valid ID so that you can vote. Now, there are certain individuals who are considered to be in a confined facility, and there are some exceptions for that, but that's not the majority of people with disabilities. The majority of people with disabilities are out and about and members of the community, so they really need to make sure that they have that, either a passport or a driver's license, or they get going on getting that photo ID identification card, because sometimes it takes a couple tries before you get everything all lined up and all the forms filled out and get your card.
Kit, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Kit Kirschensteiner is an attorney with Disability Rights Wisconsin, where she heads their Help America Vote Act project.